Okay, this is Duck on Horse Racing, and we're going to talk about some stakes races. I'm David Ginsburg, and the host, and as always, we are joined by Steve Duckhorn, the master handicapper. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Dave. I want to do today is I just want to kind of walk through the Saratoga Stakes card for Saturday, Travers Day. And I'm just going to walk through the grade ones and the grade twos that are on the card. And the first race that's available to us is the sixth race at Saratoga, which is the Purcell Ensign grade one, fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up at a mile and an eighth. And this is the race that's got Songbird in it. So Songbird is, you know, won 13 out of her 14 starts. Obviously she's, you know, a monster and it's going to be hard to beat, but I'm going to try to beat Songbird, and my selection in the race is going to be the four horse Forever Unbridled. As I looked at the race, I noticed that, first of all, Forever Unbridled had raced in this race last year, and had ran a nice third to Cavorting, who's a pretty nice horse, and, you know, produced a buyer speed figure of 101. And if you look at Songbird, I mean, Songbird's highest buyer is 105, and then she produced a couple of 101s. And when you look at Forever Unbridled has produced a 103 buyer and a 101 buyer, which tells me that Forever Unbridled is not that far off of Songbird. And even in the Breeders' Cup Distaff last year, you know, Songbird ran second to Beholder, and Forever Unbridled was the horse that finished third. Now, you know, Songbird's going to be 2-5 tomorrow, so obviously going to be really tough to beat. But I think that Forever Unbridled with Rosario probably get a pretty good trip. Looks like she can race pretty close to the front, so, you know, Songbird's going to have the lead, and I think Forever Unbridled is going to be just sitting right off her, and I'm hoping that Rosario can, you know, will have some run and go after her in the lane. I'm not interested in 2-5, and I am interested in always trying to beat horses like this. So my selection in the race is the four, Forever Unbridled. And then obviously I'm going to put Songbird in second. You know, her record speaks for itself, though. I did notice that when I did some stat analysis, I read that Hollendorfer is, you know, he's 19% trainer when he ships horses for graded stakes races. You know, he's based in California, so when he ships horses out and puts them in graded stakes, you know, 19% is okay. That's his, you know, that's been his training percentage overall in 2017, which means that, you know, he just kind of produces what he normally does when he ships horses for graded stakes races. So I'm going to try to beat Songbird with the four. And then my third selection in the race is going to be Going for Broke. Going for Broke has already run second to Songbird in the past here at Saratoga in the Alabama last year. Going for Broke is the three horse. So my selections in the race are going to be 4-2-3. You know, small field, five horses. But I am going to try to take a run at Songbird and try to beat Songbird. The next race on the card is the seventh race, which is the Ballerina. The Ballerinas for fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up, going 7 furlongs. My selection in this race is going to be the four, By the Moon. I like this trainer. I like Michelle Nevin. She's a 25% trainer in dirt sprints in graded stakes. So she's got a respectable record when she goes after big purses in graded stakes races with sprinting horses. This horse is second off the layoff. Raced at Saratoga last time out on a good track, so the track was off a little bit. But I did like that closing eighth of a mile and 11.66. And if you notice in the Daily Racing Form notes, By the Moon was 6 wide last time out, so not the best of trips. And so my selection in the race is going to be the 4, By the Moon. My second choice would be Paula Silver Lining, who's probably going to wind up going off as the post-time favorite. This horse is 11 out of his last 21. So 21 lifetime starts, 11 wins. So, you know, more than half the time this horse wins races, and in fact has won its last 3 in a row. Chad Brown and Jose Ortiz, when they hook up, they're 54%. So, you know, you're trying to beat a pretty tough trainer jockey combination in this race. You know, top buyer figure of 107 lifetime, though hasn't produced a number like that since. I mean, if you look at the Daily Racing Form, what is it, like the last 10, 11 races that are shown here in the form, you don't see anything that is in the neighborhood of a 100 or plus buyer speed figure. So, but a nice horse, likes to win, has raced against some really good horses, you know, definitely has got some class. So Ball Silver Lining, the three horse, would be my second selection. And then my third selection in the race is has a little bit of a price to it. It's the 6 Distinta at 8-1 with Johnny Velasquez and Pletcher as a trainer. Whenever Pletcher switches back to Johnny V after he's used another jockey in a race, he's a 50% trainer. So the last 8 times that he's made a jockey switch back to Johnny Velasquez, which is obviously his number one choice in terms of jockeys, you know, going from Zayas the last time to Johnny V now, you know, Pletcher's 4-8 when he makes that move. So my third selection is the 6. So in the 7th race, Ballerina, I like the 4, the 3, and the 6. The next race on the card is the 8th race, which is the Alan Jerkins. It's a grade one at 7 furlongs. This is for 3-year-olds. And my selection in this race is the 2. The 2 is a horse called Tackafull. Kieran McLaughlin's the trainer. Jose Ortiz is the jockey. Last race was at Saratoga, produced a 105 buyer speed figure. My concern always when a horse produces a giant number like that, when it hasn't done that before, is the potential for him to bounce off a figure like that, but the horse has been off now since that 105 for, it looks like, maybe 5 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks, which usually is enough time for them to recover from an effort like that. The other thing is that Tackafull did win pretty easy the last time out, won by 5 lengths in producing that 105 speed figure. And the thing that is always encouraging to me is when they produce a bullet workout coming off, a lifetime buyer top figure like that, that tells me that they didn't get sour from that race and they weren't, it didn't take a lot out of them. And so this horse produced a bullet workout coming off of that 105 buyer speed figure. So I like this combination, this jockey trainer combination. And so the 2 Tackafull is my top selection in that race. My second choice would be the 1 Practical Joke. This horse is 3rd off the layoff, is 2-2 at Saratoga. You got Chad Brown teaming up with Rosario. They're 21% at Saratoga. They're 28% in 2017. I always like 3rd off the layoff horses, and this is one of them. His 1st off the layoff, he produced a 101 buyer speed figure, bounced a little bit the last time, looked like he had some trouble, got bumped at the start. And is coming from Monmouth and now coming to Saratoga. It's hard to dismiss Chad Brown in any of these stakes races. So my second selection in the 8th race is the 1 Practical Joke. And then my third selection is the 8, which has got a price. No Dozing, the 8 horse. Jose Castellano, Javier Castellano is the jockey. He's 4-8 riding for this trainer. This trainer does really well in graded stakes. He's a 21% trainer in graded stakes. This horse is racing 2nd off a layoff, won his last time out. This is first time Castellano. He's had Centino on him. He's had Rosario on him. He's had Bravo on him. I love when horses make the switch to Javier Castellano. I think it's one of the great jockey changes in the business right now whenever a horse goes to Javier for the first time. So No Dozing, the 8 horse, is my third selection. So in the 8th race, the Alan Jerkins, I like the 2, the 1, and the 8.
If I got to give you a little bit of interaction here, on the 8 horse, the sire Union Rags, does that make much of a difference?
Yeah, Union Rags is produced a lot of talented graded type horses. And yeah, I love Union Rags as a sire, so absolutely.
Okay.
The big thing for me in this, though, Dave, is that I like when horses go to Javier. I noticed that there's a big move up when they make that jockey change. And, you know, you would think that would be obvious whenever horses go to a top jockey, but it doesn't always happen that way. Really, I've seen horses really improve with Javier, and as I've mentioned to you many times, there's a couple of West Coast jockeys that I like when trainers go to them for the first time. But on the East, Javier is the guy. Whenever I see they're making a jockey change to Javier when he's not been on the horse before, I like that. I like that move. And this is kind of a no name trainer who's but he's a 25% trainer in 2017. So a little bit underneath the radar. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't surprise me at all for this horse to be in the money and has the potential to possibly take the race. So I am leaving out the 9, who's American Anthem, yeah, with Baffert and Smith. And but when I started looking in at some of the trainer stats for Bob, when he ships horses to graded stakes, he actually doesn't do as well as he does when he's out on the West Coast. So, a lot of these races are hard and tough, and there's a lot of good horses in all of these races. But that's the way that I decided to go in this 8th race, 218.
Okay.
The 9th race is the Forgo. 7 furlongs, 3-year-olds and up. My selection in this race is the 7. The 7 horse is Tommy Macho. Tommy Macho trained by Pletcher. I like when Pletcher and Sayas team up as a trainer-jockey combination. You can get a little bit better price on a Pletcher horse when Sayas is racing for Pletcher, but I think they do pretty well together. The thing I like about Tommy Macho is he can produce a triple-digit buyer speed figure. The last 3 times he's been off a layoff, he's produced a 101, 105, and 103 buyer speed figure. So, and here he is again coming off a layoff. So he has a tendency to bounce after those efforts, but those first races off the layoff, he usually does pretty well. So my selection in this race is the 7, and the 9th race, the Forgo Stakes, is the 7. My second selection in the race is the 10, and the 10 is DeFong. This horse, obviously came to Saratoga last year for the King's Bishop and, just wowed everyone, won easy, won in a 103 buyer, one for one on the track, has won 5 of his 7 lifetime starts. This is Baffert and Smith again. But going to be low price based on that effort, from last year. And, I like to try to beat these horses. So, but it would be ridiculous not to include this horse in the top 3, and DeFong is going to be my second selection in the race. My third selection is all the way back to the rail, the 1 horse. Try to give you a little bit of a price here. Stallwalk and Dude, the 1 with Joe Bravo, ran a really nice last 1/8 of a mile in his last race, 11.72, and winning the race. He was the favorite. David Jacobson is a good trainer, good East Coast trainer. In the past, this horse has produced multiple triple-digit buyer speed figures. Earlier this year in June, ran a 105 at Belmont, so I know that this horse is fast enough. And another one of those horses I think might just fly underneath the radar a little bit that you might be able to get a nice price on. Has raced 4 times at Saratoga, won 3 of them, finished 3rd the other time, produced a 102 buyer speed figure. So obviously the horse likes Saratoga. So in the 9th race, my selections are 7, 10, 1.
And I'll also say it looks like that horse, the 1, being a 7-year-old, it's won quite a life as far as money making, almost $1.5 million.
Yeah, so almost $1.5 million, has raced 55 times and won 19.
Yeah,
so this is an older horse. sometimes these horses, when they get to be 7, 8, 9 years old, scare me a little bit, only because, you know, I know that they're on the downside of their career. The encouraging thing for me is that this year in 2017, this horse produced a 105 buyer speed figure. Right. So that tells me that even though he's gotten old, he still can race and still can run. So, you know, I think he's worth a shot. Seems to like this track a lot. And, you know, has had a, you know, good year in 2017 and 2016, even as an older horse. So I think this is a horse you might want to include in any of your gimmicks and certainly want to put it in any of your pick threes or pick fours. So we can move on to the 10th race. The 10th race is the Sword Dancer. In the Sword Dancer, my top selection is the 7. You know, it's hard when you're trying to handicap these horses that come from Europe because you don't really have, you know, a lot of past performance data to go off of because they don't really show the running style or where they were, you know, the quarter pole, the half, and you know, in various points within the race. But I do know that time form rating that you get when you get these European horses and these horses from overseas, if you take a look at that time form rating and you just and I've been told that if you subtract 14 points from that time form rating, you kind of get what the buyer speed figure would have been on the race. And that last time form rating for Idaho was 126. And if you take the 14 points off of it that they tell you you're supposed to do for foreign horses, you wind up with the equivalent of what would be a 112 buyer speed figure. And if you throw that 112 in, there isn't anybody in this race, especially any of the U.S.-based horses that can compete with a 112 buyer speed figure. This horse, this is his fourth race off a layoff. This is Aidan O'Brien. This is Ryan Moore, one of the top jockeys on the planet. I'm riding him, and it would not surprise me if the 7 horse and then also the 6, who's my second selection, Erupt. Both of these two European horses, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they ran 1-2. So my top selection is Idaho. My second selection would be Erupt, the 6. And my third selection is a U.S.-based horse, Sadler's Joy. Sadler's Joy is second off a layoff, ran a good final eighth in his last race at Saratoga, produced a 104 buyer speed figure, is moving from Javier to Julian Le Perreux, but I do like the fact that this horse did have the lead in the stretch and then came up a little bit short off that layoff. I've won a lot of races and made a lot of money on horses who just came up a little short last time, got the lead in the lane, and then just kind of didn't have enough stamina off the layoff. Usually those horses come back the next time out and run really, really well. This horse is out of Kitten's Joy, so certainly got the breeding to be, you know, a great turf performer, and you get 5-1 with Le Perreux and Tom Albertrani as the trainer. Kind of, you know, not such a high percentage trainer, and a kind of what people would perceive to be a negative jockey switch kind of probably gets you a nice price. So my selections in the 10th race Sword Dancer are 7, 6, 3.
Now, going back to Idaho, you know, Aidan O'Brien, has he had a pretty good record at Saratoga? I know he hasn't done any races this year, but.
Yeah, I couldn't get any real good trainer stats on that, on Aidan O'Brien, but again, he's probably the most well-known of the European trainers right. that bring his horses over here to the U.S.
Right.
And certainly has had a great deal of success in making that travel over the pond and bringing quality horses over. He doesn't waste his trips. He only brings them over when he thinks that they've got a shot to win. I mean, look at this horse, Dave. This horse has made over $1 million. He's he's a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
The other thing I like about horses like this is that for me, horses make big improvement between their 3 and 4-year-old seasons. And this would be the horse's fourth start as a 4-year-old. I always like that. I always like the maturity that happens when they move from their 3-year-old campaigned to their four-year-old campaign. So yep. this horse could be just sitting on a giant race, and he may just be just, you know, too good for these, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Good question, though.
Yeah. Then the Travers.
Yeah, so let's move on to the Travers. I'm sure no surprise to you who my selection in this race is going to be, Dave, because this horse that I'm going to select made us, you and I, a lot of money.
Yep.
I'm going to pick Always Dreaming, the 7. I think the public is off this horse a little bit right now. That was a pretty strenuous Triple Crown campaign for Always Dreaming. I had done a tremendous amount of handicapping and video review of Always Dreaming before I made him my selection in the Kentucky Derby. And I really loved this horse going into that Derby. Obviously, things didn't turn out so well in the Preakness and the pursuit of the Triple Crown for Always Dreaming. And, you know, Pletcher then laid him off after the Preakness and is now starting to bring him back. He had the lead in the Jim Dandy, got on the front end and, you know, just backed up a little bit. He went off as the favorite. This is his second race off the layoff. As I look at this race, I don't see a whole lot of speed in here. It's not going to surprise me at all if Always Dreaming is on the front or at the very least sitting second. And I think that's just the place that he wants to be in. I still am very high on this horse. And you're getting 6-1. You're getting Pletcher and Velasquez. And I think there's a lot of now horses, a lot of people that have forgotten how good this Always Dreaming was early in the year. And I expect that there's going to be a lot of other horses that are going to get some action. So I think we're going to get a real nice price on this horse. And like I said, I like to be on or near the lead in these races at Saratoga, and the track has been playing that way pretty much the entire meet. So I'm going to select Always Dreaming as my top selection. My second selection in this race is going to be a little bit of a long shot, the 9, McCracken. I love the way McCracken raced in that Haskell. That was an incredible move that McCracken made to get the lead, only to get nipped by Gervin on the wire. But I love the race. I really was impressed with the move that this horse made. I'm a big Brian Hernandez fan, and Brian is the jockey on this horse. Again, another horse, they had the lead in the lane and then just came up a little bit short. I like to come back on horses like that. This horse followed up with a bullet workout at Saratoga, so it looks like he likes the track. You can't beat this horse's record, Dave. This horse has raced 8 times and won 5 of them. And again, to me, another one of those horses that people were really high on early in the year, and then people got kind of off this horse. And these are the kind that I like to come back on because I think the price is right, and I think you're still getting a quality horse. So the 9, McCracken, is my second choice. And then my third choice is Cloud Computing. The one horse. And the reason that I put Cloud Computing in as my third selection is I get nervous not putting Javier in these races. He comes up big. He's one of the best money jocks on the planet. He's another one coming second off a layoff. This horse is pretty lightly raced, only raced 5 lifetime starts, did win the Preakness Stakes. Right. You got Chad Brown, you got Javier, and you have the biggest stakes race at Saratoga for the meet. And it's hard for me not to make sure that I at least pay attention to Chad and Javier in a situation like this. Cloud Computing is going to get one of those golden trips. I can see them turning for home. Cloud Computing saving all the ground the whole way around the track and then taking a run at Always Dreaming. So for me, the Travers shapes up as the 7, the 9, and the 1.
And that's a great price, 8-1, the morning line on the
8-1 for a horse that won the Preakness. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. But I mean, Dave, when you look through this card, I mean, my selections are 7-9-1. You're not including a Baffert Smith horse on West Coast. Right. You're not including the Taprit who's got, who's Pletcher and Jose Ortiz and produced a 103 buyer last time. You're not including Good Samaritan who won the Jim Dandy and beat Always Dreaming with that incredible power move to win the Jim Dandy. I mean, you know, you're not including Gervin, who made that incredible close in the Haskell. I mean, this is a very, very competitive race, but you can't bet them all.
Right.
So for me, I'm going to put my money on Always Dreaming. I like this horse. I think the pace scenario is going to set up nice. I think Johnny's going to get a nice, easy lead. And I think he's, you know, trying to beat Johnny in the lane when he's got the lead is hard, really hard. And I like to come back on horses that I liked early in the year, especially these three-year-olds later in the year, because, again, you're going to get – to me, you're getting value on Always Dreaming.
Great.
The last graded stakes race at Saratoga is the 12th race, which is the Bellston Spa, which is a mile and a 16th on the turf for fillies and mares. My selection in this race is going to be the 5. The 5 is Antino. Antino, of all these graded stakes on the Saratoga card, Antino is my best bet. So I like this horse the best out of all the races that we've spoke about. I had Antino in that race on June 10th at Belmont at 3-1. I liked her then. I saw the race, the Diana that she raced in the last time. She was in she had every chance to beat Lady Eli in that race. Really was in traffic trouble. Javier got himself into a bad spot. This horse had nothing but run, and produced, you know, back to back now triple digit buyer speed figures. Has trained the last three training trips on the turf at Saratoga. To tighten her up, I love this horse. I love this horse tomorrow. Third race off the layoff. You got Chad and Javier. You know, 3-1 on the morning line. But this is my best bet on the card at Saratoga tomorrow. Okay. My second selection, it has to be Lady Eli. How can you not include this horse in your top three? Lady Eli's raced 12 times, won 9 of them, finished second the other 3 times. Won the Diana, as I said, at Saratoga the last time out. You know, she's a force. This is Chad and this is Irad Ortiz. But again, when you look at the buyer speed figures, when you look at how fast the horse can really run, which is what the buyers tell you, you know, the numbers are there. They're triple digit buyers, but they're not overwhelming numbers. They're not numbers that others haven't produced in this race or can't produce. And I think my top selection is ready to produce one of those 104, 105 buyer speed figures. So I'm going to try to beat Lady Eli, as I think you can tell by the way that I've handicapped the card. I'm looking for ways to try to beat these really low priced, low odds favorites that are, you know, going to get bet down because of their connections and because of public opinion, which gives us value on some of the other horses in the race. But the 1 is my second selection. And then my third selection in the race is the 6, Dickinson. Dickinson did string 3 wins in a row with Paco Lopez as the jockey earlier in the year. This horse is now racing 3rd off the layoff. Kieran McLaughlin, Paco Lopez. Paco has not done really well at Saratoga, but certainly Paco is a capable jockey. Dickinson has beat Lady Eli, but beat Lady Eli in the Jenny Wiley at Keeneland, grade 1 race at Keeneland in April. So obviously is capable of knocking Lady Eli off. And, I don't want to make the mistake of not having this horse, at least in my pick 3s and pick 4s. So the Bellston Spa grade 2, my selections are the 5, the 1, and the 6.
Yeah, and those 4 to 5 odds, that's tough. The Lady Eli, so the morning line.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of like, it's like the Songbird race as well. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You got to try to beat those horses if you can. I certainly wouldn't leave them out of any of my gimmicks. But you're going to get value on some of the other horses. And if I, in handicapping the race, feel like they can produce a number and a speed figure that's capable of beating some of those lower odds horses, I'm going to take a shot, and that's what I've done. Great. The last race that I'm going to handicap is we're actually going to move to Del Mar. There's a graded stakes at Del Mar, the Pat O'Brien, 7 furlongs for 3-year-olds and up. It's the 9th race on the card at Del Mar, and since I do really well at Del Mar and do pretty well on the West Coast in general in betting races, I thought I would take a stab at this. My selection in the race is Giant Expectations, who is the 10 horse. And this is Gary Stevens, Peter Urton. This horse was a beaten favorite the last time out. Has a number of bullet workouts since that loss. So I know the horse likes the track, is moving up in class. But Gary had his choice of horses in this race and decided to pick this one over a horse that I thought probably had a better chance. He rode Kobe's Back, who's in the race, in prior races, and selected this one instead. So, for my money, Gary Stevens is as good as it gets in money races, and I think this horse another one of those 4-year-old horses who's lightly raced as a 4-year-old. I told you earlier that I like horses going from their 3-year-old campaign to their 4-year-old campaign. This horse is taking a move up in class, but he did have another option in this race with a horse that's made a lot more money than this one. And Gary decided to stick here. So, that impresses me. So my top selection in this race is the 10. My second selection is the 8, Dancing Candy. This is Baffert. Obviously Mike Smith can't ride this horse because Smitty's going to be on the East Coast for Travers Day. So Talamo is going to be up on this horse. But it got some, there's some interesting stuff with Baffert. Baffert's a 40% winning trainer. When his horses have won their last race and they're racing in graded stakes on dirt sprints at Del Mar. So 40% is an incredible, training percentage for a trainer, in graded stakes and dirt sprints and specifically at Del Mar, which is a really hard place to win races. So, this horse has speed. So, Talamo's an aggressive rider. I'm sure that he's going to get out there with his horse. So my second selection in this race is the 8, Dancing Candy.
At least Talamo has experience with him. He's raced him once.
He does. He did ride him and he did win with him. Early in the year at Santa Anita. So he has one of them, but, I think you and I both would prefer Mike Smith considering sure. that as I look at the racing form here, Smitty has won 6 times with this horse,
right.
has won 5 of the 6 wins that he's won. He's won with Smitty and the other one he won with Joe Talamo. So, and then my third selection is the 5, Blame It on the Law. Like this kid jockey Roman. I like him when he's on a speed horse. This horse looks like he's going to be on or near the lead. Has had a few nice workouts since that last start. This is 2nd off the layoff. This is Sadler, John Sadler, who I think is a good trainer. Does pretty well in stakes race. Got a 16% trainer in graded stakes. I also like when you look at the Moss pace figures, it looks as if that race, his last race, was run really quick early from a pace perspective. And I don't think that it's going to be the pace today is going to be that quick. So this tells me that this horse really was able to leg up off that really fast early pace the last time out. That usually gets a horse really tight and in shape. And then what I like to look for is I like to look and see what kind of workouts the horse had to see if that hard pace early on took anything out of him, or did it really just build them up like I think that it does. And sure enough, you see 3 really nice workouts of the 4 that he's had since that last race. So, as I said, I like this kid. I think this kid's a good jockey. And he's a good young jockey, and And, you know, you can't go wrong with John Sadler as a trainer. And it wouldn't surprise me if Roman put this thing right on the engine and tried to wire the field. So my selections in the Pat O'Brien are the 10, the 8, and the 5. And I think that pretty much wraps it up, Dave. We covered a whole bunch of graded stakes at Saratoga, and tried to give you some horses that I think might be able to beat some of the lower priced favorites. I also included in my top three some price plays. So if you want to give those a shot and maybe bet some of those to win, you're going to get some nice juicy prices on them. And as I said, my top selection is that horse in the 12th race at Saratoga. That's my best bet on the card. So that wraps this up, Dave, for this week. A lot of races to cover.
Yeah, a lot of great races. So we appreciate you listening, and good luck and good racing.